when the fire fell. An expository style message through Acts chapter 2. Opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for your living word. Thank you that the same Holy Spirit who moved in Acts chapter 2 is still moving today. Open our hearts. Remove distractions. Ignite our faith. Fill us fresh with your Spirit. And Lord God, if there is anyone listening who does not yet know you, draw them to salvation today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Historical setting is about AD 30 to 33. Jesus has ascended into heaven. For 10 days, the disciples have been waiting in Jerusalem, just as Jesus commanded in Acts 1 verse 4, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." Jerusalem is crowded. It is the Feast of Pentecost, one of the three major Jewish pilgrimage festivals. Jews from all over the Roman Empire have come to worship. Pentecost means 50th. It occurs 50 days after Passover. Originally, it celebrated the wheat harvest. Later, it was associated with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Now, on this very day, God is about to do something new. At Sinai, God wrote his law on stone. At Pentecost, he will write his law on hearts. Acts chapter 2 is the birth of the church.
1. The sound of heaven. NIV. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Let us dive deep into this segment of God's Word and find out what's going on here in Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Unity, obedience, expectation. They were united because they were gathered together with one heart and one purpose. This was not a divided group arguing over opinions. This was a surrendered group waiting on the promise of God. They were walking in obedience because Jesus had told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift the Father had promised. They did not run ahead of God. They waited where Jesus told them to wait. And they were living with expectation because Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come upon them with power. They may not have known exactly what it would look like, but they believed Jesus would do exactly what he said. That is a powerful lesson for us today. When God's people are united, obedient, and expectant, they are in the right position to receive what God wants to pour out. Verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let's think about this a bit. Wind in Scripture often represents the Spirit of God because wind is powerful, invisible, and sovereign. You cannot see the wind itself, but you can clearly see what it does. In the same way, we may not see the Holy Spirit with our physical eyes, but we can see his work in changed lives, bold witness, conviction of sin, and spiritual power. See, Jesus used this same picture in John chapter 3 verse 8 when he spoke to Nicodemus about being born again. He said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." So, it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So here in Acts 2, this sound like a mighty rushing wind was not random. God was showing that the Holy Spirit had come with power. This was heaven invading the room. The disciples have been waiting in obedience, and now the promised Spirit of God fills the house and prepares them to be witnesses for Jesus. Then comes verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. This was a visible sign of something spiritual happening. The Bible says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. That means it looked like small flames or flame-like appearances resting above or upon each believer. This was not ordinary fire that burned them. It was a supernatural sign from God. Just as the sound of wind pointed to the power and movement of the Holy Spirit, the fire pointed to the presence, purity, and power of God. Now, think about this. Throughout Scripture, fire is often connected with God's presence. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. God led Israel by a pillar of fire at night. Fire came down on Mount Sinai when God gave the law. Now in Acts 2, fire appears again. But this time it does not rest on a mountain or in a temple building. It rests on the believers. Brothers and sisters, this is powerful. The fire separated and came to rest on each of them. This shows that the Holy Spirit was not just for Peter, not just for the apostles, and not just for the leaders. Every believer in that room received the Spirit personally. In simple words, God was saying, "My presence is now with my people. My Spirit is now in my people. My power is now upon my people." This was the beginning of the church being empowered to go out and witness for Jesus. They were not being sent out in their own strength. They were being filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the moment when the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit in a powerful and public way. They were already followers of Jesus, but now they were being empowered for the mission Jesus had given them, to be his witnesses. Think about this. The phrase, other tongues, means they began speaking in languages they had not learned naturally. This was not something they practiced ahead of time. This was not emotional excitement getting out of control. The Bible says in verse 4 they spoke as the Spirit enabled them. In other words, the Holy Spirit gave them the ability, and the purpose becomes clear in the next few verses. Jews from many nations were gathered in Jerusalem, and they heard the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own languages. God was making the gospel understandable to people from different places and backgrounds. So what is happening here? The Holy Spirit comes upon the believers. He fills them with boldness. He gives them supernatural ability. He enables them to speak so others can hear about the mighty works of God. This was not a show. This was not chaos. This was God empowering his people to proclaim Jesus. That is why we can say, this was not emotional hype. It was supernatural empowerment. The church was not born through human strategy, clever marketing, or religious tradition. The church was born through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Before Acts 2, the disciples were waiting behind closed doors. After Acts 2, they would stand boldly in public and preach Christ crucified and the risen Savior. The difference was the filling and power of the Holy Spirit.
Section D. The crowd is confused. NIV. Acts chapter 2 verses 5 to 13. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Jerusalem is filled with God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. These were Jewish people and also converts to Judaism, who had traveled from many different regions to worship during the Feast of Pentecost. So picture the scene. The city is crowded, the feast is underway, and suddenly there is this supernatural sound from heaven. The Holy Spirit has filled the believers, and now they begin speaking in languages they had never learned. The crowd comes together in bewilderment because something impossible is happening. These Galileans were not known as highly educated world travelers. Many would have seen them as ordinary people from a common region. Yet the people in the crowd are hearing them speak clearly in their own native languages. That is why they ask in verse 7, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans?" In other words, they are saying, how can these ordinary Galileans speak the languages of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, people from Egypt, Rome, Crete, Arabia, and all these other places? This was not random noise. This was not confusion. These were real languages understood by real people from real nations. Now think about that. And what were they hearing? Look at verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. That is very important. The Holy Spirit did not empower them to draw attention to themselves. He empowered them to declare the greatness of God. The message was not, look at us. The message was, look at what God has done. God was showing that the gospel was not going to stay locked up in one nation, one culture, or one language. Jesus had died and risen again, and now the good news would begin spreading to the nations. This is a beautiful reversal of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. See, at Babel, human pride brought confusion and division through mixed languages. However, at Pentecost, God's Spirit brings understanding and unity through languages. God is gathering people, not scattering them. He is making the message of salvation clear. Some in the crowd were amazed. They knew this was supernatural. Some were perplexed. They did not understand what it meant yet, but they were asking the right question. Verse 12, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, verse 13, they have had too much wine. Listen up. That is how it often works when God moves. Some people are spiritually hungry. Some are curious. Some make fun of what they do not understand. But notice this, the mockery did not stop the Spirit of God. Peter will stand up and preach, and thousands will be saved. So the point is this, when the Holy Spirit moves, he draws attention to Jesus, makes the gospel understandable, and begins reaching people from every background. God speaks the language of people's hearts, and he wants every nation to hear the wonders of God.
Section 3. Peter preaches with power. Now here is God's word. NIV. Acts chapter 2 verses 14 to 36. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
So let us see what is happening here. At this time, Peter stands up. This is the same Peter who denied Jesus weeks earlier. So what changed? It was God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of God. Look at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. He explains that this fulfills Joel's prophecy. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, not just prophets, not just kings, all people. So, Peter then boldly proclaims Jesus. Verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But then comes hope. Verse 24, but God raised him from the dead. Peter preaches the cross, the resurrection, the lordship of Jesus. Verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. This is very clear, bold, and Christ-centered. That is true preaching. So, Peter's message was not complicated. He preached Jesus. He preached that Jesus was crucified. He preached that Jesus was raised from the dead. He preached that Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. And now the question comes to every heart. What do we do with Jesus? The people in Acts chapter 2 could not stay neutral. They had to respond. And we cannot stay neutral either. The same Jesus Peter preached is the same Jesus we preach today. He is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He rose from the grave. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day, He is coming again very soon. So as we close, remember what we have seen in Acts chapter 2. The disciples waited in obedience. The Holy Spirit came in power. The gospel was declared clearly. People from many nations heard the wonders of God. And Peter stood up boldly and pointed everyone to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that is still the mission of the church today. We are not called to build our message around personalities, programs, or entertainment. We're called to lift up Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who empowered Peter is still at work today. The same gospel that saved 3,000 people in Acts 2 is still saving people today. The same Jesus who forgave sinners then is still forgiving sinners now. Maybe today, as you hear this message, God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you know about Jesus, but you have never truly surrendered your life to Him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not some, not a few, not only the religious, not only the people who have cleaned themselves up first. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means you can come to Jesus today. You do not have to fix yourself before you come. You do not have to pretend you have it all together. You come honestly. You come humbly. You come by faith. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus offers forgiveness, salvation, and new life. To be born again means that God gives you a new heart, a new beginning, and a new life through Jesus Christ. So today, turn from sin and turn to Jesus. Believe that He died for you and rose again. Call on Him as Savior and Lord. If you are ready to surrender your life to Jesus, pray this sincerely from your heart. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Save me. I turn from my sin and I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, that if you prayed that and meant it, the Bible says you are saved. Welcome to the family of God. Let us pray in closing. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Acts 2 and the reminder that your Holy Spirit still empowers your people today. Lord, help us to be a people of unity, obedience, and expectation. Fill us fresh with your Spirit. Give us boldness to proclaim Jesus clearly and with love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, for anyone who prayed to receive Jesus today, strengthen them, guide them, and help them grow in their faith. Surround them with believers who will encourage them and point them to your word. Use us as your witnesses in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, and wherever you send us. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.